about you that you don't even know about yourself yet. Huh? God knows you. He knows all of us intimately because he made us. We live. There's a scripture in Acts that talks about that in him we live, we breathe, we have our being. And the scripture in John says that Jesus Christ is the light that lighteth every man that comes into the world. So there's nobody, whether saved or unsaved, that God don't know everything about you. The Bible says he knows our thoughts afar off. That thought that it haven't even got to your head yet, God already knows it. He knows the plans that you think you have. He knows what you think you're going to do after you leave here today. God already knows that. God knows how much time you've given yourself to sit in the building like this. He already knows. He already knows. If it takes that long, I'm up out of here. God already knows that thought. He already knows that. But yet and still, God is trying to get your attention and shine some light on your life and shine some light on your situation so that you can get off the path that leads to destruction and get to the path that leads to eternal life. And some of us in here have gotten on the path already to eternal life, but somehow or another, we allowed ourselves to walk off of the path. So we need a Damascus Road experience. Now, here's something that we need to understand. It is very, very popular in our society and in this country. It's very, very popular. One author said, it's very, very popular for people to be Christians. It's very, that's like the in vogue thing. Everybody will say, yeah, I'm a Christian. And some will even go a little bit farther than that. Some people will even acknowledge Jesus Christ as Savior because they have been taught and they have been preached to and they heard enough witnessing from some source or another that they need a Savior. They can look at their own lives and acknowledge, yeah, I'm a sinner. Yeah, what do you mean? Because I do everything that a sinner does. Before, they wouldn't even recognize that they were sinners. But because their life is telling on them, they have come to the point where they will freely acknowledge. They might hold their head down, yeah, I'm a sinner. You know, and I need a Savior. There are a lot of people who want Jesus as a Savior. They want somebody to save them from their sins. They want somebody to change. Or they think they want somebody to change their life. What they're really looking for is an easier existence down here. What they're looking for is for some of these hard times to kind of pass me by. That's really what they're looking for. So if Jesus is the Savior, and if Jesus can make my life down here just a little bit better, all right, I'll take that then. Things is bad for everybody, you know. So they want Jesus in that role. They want him as Savior because we've been taught, even those of us who may not have been in church, we've been taught that scripture that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So we've been hearing that, and we accept that. You know, some of us can quote it. You can quote it when you're sitting down getting high. You can quote that scripture with your drink in your hand. Yeah, because you heard that over and over. Over and over, you can get up out of the bed of fornication and adultery and still quote John 3:16 because you know that's in you. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. The problem is we want Jesus as Savior, but we don't want him as Lord. That's the issue. That's the issue. We don't want him as Lord. We just want him as Savior. We want Jesus as a break this glass in case of emergency. That's the type of Jesus we want. If you get in a bind and all your options have failed you, go to the Jesus box. and take the hammer and break the glass on the Jesus box and pull the lever and say, Jesus, come get me out of this. And as soon as Jesus come get me out of this, I'm going to sweep up the glass and put it in the trash and go on about my business. But you need a Damascus Road experience, because on the road of Damascus, this religious man who thought he was doing a work for God, he said, who are you, Lord? Now that word Lord there in that context means sovereign authority, supreme authority over my life. That's what this Jewish man was acknowledging. Uh-oh, I done came into contact with some real power. And all my religious teaching is going to have to be pushed on pause for a minute, because I have come in contact with the real God. I've come in contact with the one who allowed me to even use the breath that I was using to do what I was doing. So this word, Lord, means supreme authority in my life. So what that meant was, if you call somebody Lord in this context, that means every day that you live, before you do anything, you check with your Lord. He took the servant's role, and this is the problem in 2014. People don't want to take the servant submissive role under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we want him as Savior. Yeah, we want him as get out of jail free, but we don't want the Lord regulating nothing over our life. Listen, he has to be Lord of all or not at all. He has to be Lord. And when he's Lord, that means we don't call no shots in our life. Yes, I know that's hard for some of us to understand. That's hard for some of us to digest, because why did he give me a brain? Why did he give me these skills? What you trying to do? You trying to make me a robot? God ain't trying to make you a robot. He's trying to save your life. He's trying to save you from destruction. Listen, he's the sovereign God. He told him, you can't fight against me. I'm trying to save your life. That same energy, that same influence that Saul had when he got converted, God used it. Yes, he did. He became one of the greatest apostles that ever lived. Planted churches, started churches. What am I trying to say? When he met God on that road to Damascus, God changed him from the inside out. God changed his mind. God changed his heart. How do you know that he was changed? Because when Jesus told him who he was, listen to the submissive words that he said back to Jesus. Lord, what will you have me to do? Lord, have mercy. That's the experience that we need. Some of us only call the Lord when we want something, when we need something. When is the last time you cried out to God and said, Lord, I ain't coming to you for nothing? Yeah, they acted crazy, and this is going wrong, and that's going wrong, but I ain't concerned with that right now. What I'm concerned with is, Lord, what will you have me to do? That's what he asked him. Let me read it. And Saul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is dangerous, and it will turn out badly for you to keep kicking against the goad, to offer vain and perilous resistance. Trembling and astonished, he asked. See, some of us don't have a healthy reverence for God. God don't want you to be afraid like he's going to knock you out. God's not about that. But he wants a reverence. He deserves a reverence. when we consider who God is, and what God is, and how frail we are with our intellect, I don't care how many letters you got behind your name, God's God. Take your PhD and whatever, I don't care. Get your education, that's cool. God got a PhD in everything, and never spent a day in the classroom. God's bad, if you allow me to use that expression. God is bad. Yeah, and I mean that in a good sense. But he had to tremble. He trembled. He was trembling before God. And he asked, Lord, what do you desire me to do? That's where we need. We need that experience. Lord, what you want me to do? Lord, I'm going to do this. Oh, God, how much wasted energy do we spend on doing what we think God wants us to do? That's what he was doing in his former life. I know I'm working for God. And here these folks coming up with this new message. I know you got to see. He was basing his works on the law of the Jews, on the law of Moses, and all those commandments. But I hear the Bible say that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. But what Saul was doing was going on all that he knew. And sometimes that's what we do. We go on all that we know. But when light comes, when the light of God's word come unto to us, then we have to make a conscious decision. First of all, we got to know that it's coming from God, that it's coming from God, and it's coming from his word, and it's rightly divided. So he had to make a decision. Am I going to stay in my tradition? Am I going to stay in the things that I've been taught by well-meaning and well-intended people? But we have to make up in our minds, just like Paul did. We have to make up in our minds in this day and time. We have to look at the word of God, and if our human or religious traditions are in violation to the word of God, there's a decision that has to be made. I hear the Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. I'm not going and bashing what well-intended people did and taught, because they did the best that they could. But when God shows the light of his word, I hear Proverbs said, I believe in the fourth chapter of Proverbs, around verse number 18, that he talks about the path of the just. It shineth bright and brighter even unto a perfect day. So as God bring light and illumination and revelation to his word that he has already written before we got here, when God shines light on his word, we have to make a conscious decision. Am I going to stay stuck in my tradition, or am I going to live according to the revelation of God's word? I hear the Bible said in one place that no scripture is of any private interpretation. So I got to check my revelations, or the revelation that I think I got, and see if I can track it in the word of God. See if I can track it according to the way of God. Because I hear God said in one place, these people, they see my works, but they don't understand my ways. You got to track God. In order for you to track God, that means you got to get closer to God. You got to get in his word. You got to go line upon line and precept upon precept. You can't pull one scripture, out of context and build a whole organization out of one scripture that's been misinterpreted. But I hear God said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It was a moment of truth right there on that Damascus road. This is what God expects for all of us. We need to have from time to time a Damascus road experience, because sometimes we can think we're doing the right thing, and we're hurting people, and we're harming people, and we're blocking people from a real relationship with Jesus Christ. But Lord, Shine your light on my life. We used to sing a long time ago, search me, Lord. Shine your light from heaven on my soul. If you find anything, and just let me tell you, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, there's some anything in me. I need the light of God to illuminate my life and to illuminate my motives and make sure my motives are pure. So God, I need you to search me. How is he going to search me? I got to open up the book, get into his word, and be honest with God. So he was at a crossroads on the road to Damascus, and he asked God, he asked Jesus, he said, what will you have me to do? That's where we need to be. We need to ask God, okay, God. See, when he asked him, he was acknowledging that I don't know everything. Oh, God, I'm going on this one. He said, you might have to get the keys. Wait a minute. No, this is a friendly crowd. All right. But listen, we don't know everything that there is to know. We think we know everything, but I learned a long time ago that all truth is God's truth. We got some and they got some. But the problem is we think we got all that there is. We think ain't nobody, oh God, going but us. But I hear the Spirit of God say, if God chose to give the Holy Ghost to those who don't worship exactly like we worship, who don't do things exactly like the way we do them, who are we to say that they ain't going nowhere? Who are we to build up walls of division with our religious tradition? We need a Damascus Road experience. I hear Paul said, what will you have me to do? Then Jesus, one thing about Jesus, if you ask him something and you mean business, he gonna tell you what you need to do. And then it's up to you. I said it's up to you then to either follow the instructions or say, well, I ain't going that way. Well, thank God that the Apostle Paul heard from Jesus. And this is what Jesus did. He said, get up. Oh, God, get up. And there's going to be somebody. He said, it's going to be a man that's going to tell you what to do. Brother Paul was blind for 3 days. He couldn't see nothing. They had to lead him into the town and look at the mercy, look at the grace of our great God. While God was dealing with Paul, God found a man named Ananias. He said, Ananias, I want you to go down and meet this brother Paul, because he's praying. And Ananias had heard about the reputation of Saul. Ananias was asking God the question. He said, wait a minute, I heard about this man. If you allow me to use my term, wait a minute, God, this dude's a bad dude. He killing folks. He regulating stuff. And you want me to go and talk to him? Sometimes there's another side of the Damascus Road experience. We may be the ones that God chooses to use in these last days to go and talk to people who don't believe exactly like we believe. But before God will release us, we got to get our heads straight. We got to get our minds straight. We got to get our heart straight and understand that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I don't mind talking to a Baptist. You hear what I said? I don't mind talking to a Methodist. I don't mind. In fact, I was testifying to a Baptist sister yesterday at the car wash. I shared my testimony. She said, you got a testimony? I said, yes, I do. I praise God. See what happened when I got there? She had a Bible. That's an open door for me. She had a Bible sitting on the table. And I asked her, I said, is that a Bible? She said, yes, it is. Oh, Lord, you know, that's all I needed. Oh, hallelujah. I asked her what church she went to. She told me. And then she told me the church that she visits from time to time. So I just started sharing my testimony. Now, wait a minute. I used to be Baptist. Glory to God. I used to be Church of God in Christ. Yes. So I can't turn, oh God, my head or my nose up at the Baptist folks. Because there are some sincere Baptist folk. There are some sincere. Wait a minute. Y'all looking like y'all don't understand what I'm saying. There's some sincere Church of God in Christ folk. They love the Lord and they're doing the best that they can. That's what Paul was doing. So we can't take an arrogant stance and say, I can't talk to them. Who else is going to talk to them? But you got to talk to them with the right kind of heart. You got to talk to them with the right kind of spirit. I hear the Bible said love covers a multitude of sin. So there's sin in every church. Did you hear what I said? There's sin in every house. There's sin in every organization. There's sin in every last one of us sitting up in here filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. There's still some sin within. So if we're going to be honest, we got to be used by God. That's what Ananias was. He was afraid at first. I said he was afraid. He was scared because he heard what Paul was doing. But God did not give us the spirit of fear. God talked to Ananias and he got his mind right. So when Ananias finally hooked up with Paul, this is what he said. He said, Brother Paul, the Lord has sent me so that you might receive your sight. God knows that had to be a change on Ananias' part. Listen, so we can go to our Baptist brothers and our Baptist sisters and fill in the blank, brothers and sisters, and tell them, wait, I got to go get somebody else because y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. In that same book of Acts, there was an eloquent man who was by the name of Apollos. He was eloquent and he was heavy in the scriptures. And the only thing that he knew, have y'all read that? Why y'all looking at me like I'm crazy then? The only thing that he knew was the baptism of John. And with all that he knew, he stood in the synagogues preaching and declaring Jesus. And when Aquila and Priscilla, the husband and wife evangelistic team, and I believe the woman was the preacher. So all you all who don't think that a woman could preach, we got some Bible for that. Away with man-made tradition. Lord, help me. Help me to preach this thing this morning. But when they saw Apollos, they went to Apollos and they didn't cut him down. Oh God, they didn't pull out an axe. Oh God, I know we're streaming it, so we need to get this on the live stream. When they went to Apollos, the first thing they hit him with was not an axe and 2.38s. They didn't do that. They went and expounded to him, and here's what they did. They didn't put him on blast. They took him to the side and expounded unto him the word of God more perfectly. Sometimes we want to get a feather in our cap, so we want to put people on blast. Where's the wisdom? Pull them to the side. Don't embarrass nobody, because at your attempt to embarrass somebody, you're going to embarrass yourself. They pulled them to the side, and they expounded unto him the word of God more perfectly. They took him from where he was to where he needed to go. And he was baptized. How many people have we hit with an axe and 238s and they never been to the water? Because we drove them away. I hear the Bible say, he that winneth souls is wise. Live godly. Let them see the love of God. Let them see the power of God manifested in your life, that they don't, when they get to the point that they're ready to accept the Lord, not just the Savior, but when they get to the point that they're ready to accept the sovereign and supreme authority over their life, they don't care what you tell them, they're going to do it, because they've seen the fruit and the evidence of what God has done in your life. We need a Damascus Road experience. Lord, what will you have me to do? And God has a pattern. He said, I'm going to send somebody. I ain't gonna keep speaking to you out this cloud. But we got a problem with that. I want God to speak to me. No. You can't regulate God. I heard his voice, yeah. But what did he tell you? I'm going to send somebody to tell you what you need to do. And the person that I send is going to be prepared, because I'm talking to him while I'm talking to you. See, God can carry on. God has a big chat line. Yeah. He got a chat line. He can talk to all of us at the same time. And don't miss a word in the conversation. God don't have to text us and say, what'd you say? His chat line, he got a bandwidth that reaches from heaven to earth with no interference. So when God chooses to send somebody to tell you what you need to do, do what Brother Paul did. Accept it. He accepted it. He got baptized, and he received his sight, and he was a fireball for God. Look at all them Pauline epistles. Let me leave you with something. I done sweated myself. That's all right. God gave me the sweat, so I'm going to use it. Thank God for sweat. Amen. Paul considered himself a prisoner. Now watch that. He was making folks prisoners. Did y'all catch that in the beginning? He had authority. He had legal authority, because the church was in charge back then. He had legal authority from the church to put us in jail if we was living back then and believing in Jesus. So here he went from making folks prisoners to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. look at. The apostle, after his Damascus Road experience. I'm sweating, but that's all right. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. See that? He said, I'm now the prisoner. I was locking folks down, but I'm the prisoner now. I'm the prisoner of the sovereign and supreme authority that there is. He said, I, Paul, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal. See, wait a minute. A while ago, he was threatening. Y'all remember? He was threatening. He was bad. If you don't, he was like that. But now, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, prisoner for the Lord, I appeal to and beg. Wait a minute. He's from the Sanhedrin. He ain't got to beg for nothing. Don't you know my rap? Pharisee of the Pharisee. A Damascus Road experience will cause some real humility to set in. Not that fake stuff. He said, I, therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk. What do you mean walk? Lead a life. Live worthy of the divine calling. See, he had a divine calling on his life. He said, yeah, okay, God, I got you. What do you want me to do? to which you have been called with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. See, Paul understood summonses. He understood that because he had some. But he thank God those summonses that he had was dissolved and changed. Now Paul said, I'm under summons. And not only am I under summons, all of us. So I'm speaking to you as a fellow prisoner of the Lord. We need to walk worthy of the divine call. We've been given a divine call to walk, to live our lives in a behavior that is pleasing and is worthy and that is a credit to the calling of God's service. We need a Damascus Road experience. Amen? I'm going to stop. We need a Damascus Road experience.